you, Becklin.
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Oh, what a save by Blackwood.
As the official marketplace of the Sharks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Vlasic shoots and he scores!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are getting ready for the Sharks to take on the Florida Panthers tonight at the Tank. 7 o'clock go time, 6:30 pre right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And then the Sharks are back at it on Monday night hosting the Penguins before they go to Seattle on the 30th to play on the road. Then they're back home for a couple more. Month of February, they are home on the 4th against Montreal. Then they are home against Vancouver and then home against Dallas. Before we get into the break, the Sharks are not back at it after the 8th until the 23rd of February. So with these games here, San Jose mostly at home, I would like to see them figure out some success in the third period, which has been elusive up to this point of the year, and just try to play with a little bit more consistency. Some of the reports we're looking at out of Morning Skate, the lines, according to Curtis Pashelka, Zetterlin, Granlund, and Smith on the top line, Eklund, Celebrini, and Toffoli on the second line, Kovalenko, Wenberg, and Cunnan on the third line, and Duer, Goodrow, Sabourin on the fourth line. Also, the D pairs, Wallman, CC, Ferraro, Liljegren, Thrun, and Vlasic. No Jan Rutta today, according to Curtis Pashelka. He's a little banged up right now, so that's why he is not in the lineup. So we will see what the Sharks do put together as they take to the floor this morning. I've got a great show coming up for you as we are now joined by Nick Nolenberger, the voice of the Barracuda, as well as a host, or excuse me, analyst on NBC Sports California for Sharks pre and post game live. Noli, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Busy, as you are. We always are, I guess, this time of year, especially with the truncated Sharks schedule. It seems like they're playing every other day, and then I've got CUDA games. So I'm busy, but having a blast. And yeah, doing good. No complaints. How about yourself?
Yeah, can't complain, man. Just enjoying the ride and having fun watching the Sharks and the Barracuda. And, you know, both teams, especially the Barracuda, are better than they were last year, and we've got more fun players to talk about. So it's been a good ride as of late. Let's start with the Sharks, man. You got to call two of the, you're not called, but be on the pre and post for two of the craziest games of the Sharks season. One where they can't hold on to a 5-1 lead. And then the next game against the same team where they come back from a 3-0 and 5-2 deficit to tie and still end up losing 6-5. I mean, what's going through your head in that first one when it goes from 5-1 and it's suddenly 5-3 at the end of the second? Are you thinking there's a lot of clenching going on in that dressing room, or were you of the mind of, they'll take care of business?
I didn't know if they were going to take care of business per se, but I didn't feel, maybe I just didn't have the pulse of the game, but I didn't feel like it was necessarily going to be a guaranteed collapse, if that makes sense. There's been all these third periods the Sharks have had leads, and you do think about it as you get to these thirds, especially when it's a one-goal lead. They had the two-goal lead, and I thought, okay, let's see how the first couple of minutes go of this third period. Unfortunately, they give up a goal about 30 seconds into the third, and I think that did kind of shift the feelings probably on the bench and in the building. The fans got into it. They knew that they were, you know, right on the cusp of tying this hockey game. So I felt okay going into the third, to be honest, but as soon as they scored that goal to get within one, it totally changed. So, yeah, it was a wild one. The Sharks don't lack entertainment this year, and I think that's something that did lack last year. It was hard to watch a lot of the games just because they were out of so many of them, and you're thinking, where is the silver lining in this all? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? And I guess ultimately it was the number one overall draft pick. So it's been a lot more entertaining game. I think that was a microcosm in these last two. Unfortunately for the Sharks, they're a team that's still learning how to win games and learning how to close out games. And that is a learned skill. As painful as it is, it takes time to learn how to win. And I was texting Dan Rusinowski the other day, and I said, in 2 years when this team's winning games all the time, we're going to forget about this period of time in franchise history. And he said this, and he said, I've seen this story before, and he has, being with the Sharks when they first began, and we're a bottom feeder in the National Hockey League and then became an annual contender. So a wild two games, fun to watch. There's no question. Just wish the Sharks would have found a way to at least get one of them.
Yeah, especially you score five goals in back-to-back games. You think that's a way to win. And, you know, for it not to be, that is it's unexpected. I'll put it that way. I wanted to ask you about Yaroslav Askarov, because you've called so many of his games this year for the Barracuda and seen him be so good. I think that third goal that he gave up was the first bad play as a netminder I've actually seen from him. All the other goals that he's been scored on, you know, there have been tips, there's been good plays around him. That was just one where it was like, wow, I don't think he saw the puck. I don't know what happened there. But that tells you how good he is, when I can specifically think of one goal for the first time where it was like, wow, he didn't play that correctly.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think it's fair to say that was probably his toughest performance in the NHL. But I thought what was impressive was how he kind of settled down into the third and gave his chance a team to win, or gave his team a chance to win, excuse me. So that's all you can really ask from a goalie. Obviously, he would have liked maybe one or two of those back. It wasn't his best performance. There were some, you know, external factors. As you're aware, the team dealing with the bug on that road trip, he was one of the guys that was sick, kind of impacted maybe when he was going to start. Who knows if he would have played in Nashville had he been healthy, and how they would have kind of scheduled the goalies. But, you know, it's been Alexander Georgiev who has played a little bit more as of late. I think that is planned. Is you don't want to thrust a young guy in Askarov into the fire right away where he's playing every other day. So even if he wasn't sick, it's one of those situations. It seems he's playing every third game or so. But yeah, he did look a little bit more human in that game, but I think there's some factors. He's coming back after a long road trip, coming off an illness. It was an emotional game against Boston, an emotional game against the franchise that drafted him. I'm sure there were some nerves, and maybe he just was too fired up. Who knows? But his period was the third, and that's encouraging, really, in his small time in the NHL. But there's going to be games like that, especially against teams like Nashville that have tons of firepower, and they can hurt you in a multitude of ways.
Colin Graf going back down to the Barracuda. I really like his game. I've told you that before. Noli, did you see anything that you particularly liked about his game with the Sharks or didn't like? And then I also wonder, did you feel his absence with the Barracuda while he was up with San Jose?
Yeah, I think definitely his absence was felt with the Barracuda. It's been now about 3 weeks to almost a month since he's played in the AHL, yet he's still almost near the top in terms of all rookies in scoring. It shows kind of the impact he had through the first 2.5 months of the season. But the one thing I thought that really translated between the two leagues was his hockey smarts. He wrote that on full display through the first couple of months in the AHL. I think really opened some eyes on what type of player he could be at the next level. He had that small sample size last year after finishing up his collegiate career and signing with the Sharks. And it's hard to get a real gauge at the end of the season because you've got a guy coming in with a lot of emotion, obviously trying to make an impact, excited to be in the NHL. And sometimes you don't get a real clear picture of what a player is. I thought he played fine during that stint last year at the end of the season. But this is the real telltale sign of what a player is, I think, when you go through training camp to the regular season, maybe he'd be in the NHL, but it's possibly asked for and legitimately got the call up because of his play. Sometimes guys get called up just because of their name or where they were drafted or where the organization maybe sees them as a prospect. He was called up in my mind because of his play. He was one of the best players all year long. And again, his hockey smart, the way that he defends, the way that he thinks the game and can make plays, he's not going to wow you with elite skill. Not to say he's not skilled, because he is. But I think his hockey smarts is the best attribute of his game. So I think what he's proven through the first 2.5 months of the season with the Barracuda and then with the Sharks is that he's got a legit future as an NHL player. And as an undrafted guy, that's not something that is a guarantee, right? Even though he was highly touted coming out of college. So it's been really encouraging to see where he's at. I want to see him come back down to the AHL and basically hit the ground running, dominate like he was before, and he'll be right back in the NHL in no time.
Yeah, I think that's the desire for everyone, just to see him pick up, you know, where he was before. And, you know, it's funny, people are, you know, said like, oh, well, he wasn't as good as he was at the AHL level. And it's like, well, yeah, he's, you know, very young in his career. The one thing I noticed, Noli, is that whether we're talking about a Graf, whether we're talking about a Cagnoni, an Askarov, Will Smith, a Macklin Celebrini, everybody wants these guys to be complete products yesterday, and that's just not how it works in hockey. It takes time.
Exactly. That's what the AHL is there for, right? I think sometimes As you noted, people get a little bit impatient. We all want the rebuild to be over. But the fact of the matter and the reality of the situation is this stuff takes years. It takes years to stockpile draft picks. And once you draft guys, it takes a long time to develop them. Unless you're a top five draft pick, it's going to take at minimum, at least historically, a couple of years to be a pro hockey player. And then if you're drafted, you know, beyond the first round, it usually takes a year or two in the minors. That's just kind of how it goes. And for a guy like Colin Graf, who was undrafted, as you've documented many times, he was somewhat of a late bloomer physically. That kind of played into some of the factors why he wasn't drafted. But it's going to take a little bit of time to just get used to the rigors of pro hockey, whether it's more games or more travel or just the intelligence and talent of the players that not only you're playing with, but going against each night. It just takes time. You learn things just like any of us, right? We learn as broadcasters little nuances over time. Doesn't happen in a day. So just like a hockey player, just like a, you know, a mechanic, we learn things every day. And I think for Colin Graf, this is a great development season. He's going to play games in the NHL. He's going to spend a majority of the season, I would imagine, in the American Hockey League. And hopefully he plays big-time hockey in the playoffs, in the Calder Cup playoffs as well, and is part of a Barracuda team that makes a long run. So that's, I think, the dream situation. He plays games in both leagues and then is able to play some playoff hockey in the AHL as well and really learn what it takes to win at the pro level, because it's a different animal. Even in the Calder Cup playoffs, it's a different level and speed than what you see in the regular season. So, you know, I can't complain what I've seen this year. I think it's been a great season for him. What he's going to be in the NHL is to be determined, but he's shown flashes that there's a player there. And for me, that's encouraging.
Tell me about the Pacific Division right now, because it seems that between Tucson and Coachella Valley, there's a very tightly bunched group of teams. Calgary, they got off to a great start. They were reeled in momentarily, but they've just been, you know, really, really good all year long. It seems like they've got themselves a nice buffer there at the top. But, you know, it really seems like the remainder of this season, anything could happen with everyone else in the Pacific, especially, like I said, second through seventh is pretty tightly bunched.
Yeah, it's a cluster of teams. And that's how they hoped it would be when they expanded the playoff format. Seven of the 10 teams in the division make it. And it's funny because people, they look at that and they think, well, why are there so many teams making the playoffs? But the ultimate goal in the AHL is to develop players. In my mind, the best way to develop players is playoff hockey. Sure, the regular season is great, but it's just, as I noted, a different world when the playoffs come around. So that was the vision of these NHL teams and the AHL when they expanded the playoffs. Barracuda right in the thick of it. They've kind of fallen off a little bit since December 1st. They're around 500, and that's due in large part to the fact that they haven't been quite as good of a road team as they have been on home ice, and they've played more on the road since the start of December. They've lost some guys, whether it be Askarov or Colin Graf. That has certainly impacted the team. So there's some things that have played into the results as of late, but it's going to be a dogfight, really, all the way down to the final stretch. And I think the Barracuda, unless you know, the ground just falls out from under them. They will be in the playoffs and they're going to be in a good spot, but there's valuable points to try to really take a stranglehold of your positioning. They've got Calgary on the schedule two more times at the end of the year. Tucson's coming up on the schedule as well, so points to be gained. And because you play everybody in the division, you almost kind of cannibalize each other. So if you lose three or four in a row, it's against division opponents that are right in the playoffs race as well. So you can kind of fall down quickly, or in the other way, you can climb up the standings quickly as well. So I think the Barracuda recognize the urgency of collecting points. They're in the midst of a 7-game homestand that'll continue on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon at XCU Arena. So there's points to be had, and certainly it's that time of year where you've got to start honing your game and refining your game to be a playoff club, be a consistent team that has a consistent product night in and night out. So it should be a lot of fun down the final stretch. We just passed the halfway point. A lot of hockey to go, but this is a Barracuda team that's been right in the mix all year long.
What is the number one area of concern for the Barracuda right now?
It's a good question. I think there's been some ups and downs with this team when they've played some heavier teams that forecheck really hard, put pressure on your D. It's given the Barracuda some fits. For an example, San Diego's near the bottom of the Pacific Division, yet every time the Barracuda play them, it's a dogfight, and it has to do in large part to the fact that they throw the body, they're physical, they're pretty north-south, detailed in their game. not going to flash you. So, you know, flash you with offensive skills. So they're just going to try to muck it up and slow it down. And that's given the Barracudas some trouble at times. But the key to that, at least talking to the coaching staff, is breaking pucks out. And with Askarov, that'll help because it's like a third goalie back there if he is to return back to the Barracuda. But the D, too, going back there, understanding that you're going to take some punishment, trying to make a good, clean first pass. You know, being connected as a unit of five, it sounds so cliche, but that's been the messaging from the organization and the coaching staff all year long. Being connected as a team, but when you're out there, being connected as a unit of five as well. Everybody on the same page, knowing where your teammate's going to be. Putting passes on the tape so it's not a situation where you're fumbling pucks and turning it over. It's at this point of the year, that's what the coaching staff wants. They want guys in the right spots. They want them to be detail-oriented, and they want them to make the right play. It doesn't need to be the home run or, you know, the flashy, high-end offensive play. They want them to make the right play because that's how you win in the playoffs.
What has head coach John McCarthy said about the squad and what he's liking as of late?
I think he's really enjoyed coaching this team. It's obviously a more talented team than he's had over the years, but it's been a really close-knit team as well. The veterans that they brought in, and Paul Dorowski, and Schultz, and Carlson, and Colin White, who just was recalled to the Sharks, and Scott Sabourin, who now is in year number two with the organization. These guys have really kind of been the glue, in a sense, to a pretty young team. The Barracuda and Uli are one of the younger teams. And John McCarthy and the coaching staff, I think, have done a great job of pushing the right buttons, you know, putting pressure on this team when it needs a little bit of a push. Also, maybe taking a step back and letting the talent take over at times as well. But, you know, the goal of the coaching staff in the AHL is ultimately to set these guys up for the NHL. So there's got to be structure in their game. They have to play the right way, or they're going to go up to the NHL and come right back down. The goal is for them to go to the NHL and stick. And the best way to do that is learn how to play the right way. And that's the great thing about having your AHL team in San Jose is, you know, the two coaching staffs talk quite a bit. They're playing the same way. Systematically, it's the same. So when guys go up, it's a smooth transition. But you've got to learn how to play the right way in the AHL. And that means defending hard. That means coming back on pucks. That means doing all the little things that win hockey games. So just like we talked about closing out third periods and learning how to win with the Sharks, same thing with the Barracuda. They're trying to learn how to win, and development is a big deal in terms of getting on the ice every day and working on little skills and little details, but winning is part of development. And for John McCarthy, I think he's done a great job. The whole coaching staff, Louis Mass, Kyle Hagel, video coach, obviously, Eric Pinsky has been great as well. So it's been a collective group. I think everybody's bought in, and you know the attitude of the room's been great as well. Even when the team's had some speed bumps, it hasn't seemed to waver. The mood's still really good in the room. So it's been a fun year, and I think the coaches would agree.
Noli, I appreciate your time as always. Have a great call today, 2 o'clock start time. You can get that on the Sharks app on the Barracuda side, and then tomorrow on Sunday, you will be able to get the Barracuda game on the Sharks audio network. So you're going to be a busy man this weekend, so I'll let you get to it.
We are working when we're calling games. It's just fun. So appreciate it, Ted. Enjoy the games tonight, or the game tonight with Sharks. Talk to you soon.
Again, that is Nick Nolenberger, the voice of the Barracuda, as well as an analyst for Sharks pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports California, joining us here on the Sharks audio network. Alexander Georgiev is back in net for San Jose tonight, and I think that he is looking forward to having a better performance than he did against Nashville the other night. I don't blame him for the loss in Nashville. I think there were two that he probably wanted back, but for the most part, he was under fire, and the Sharks did not play defense well enough in front of him. But I would like him to bounce back with a high-quality performance because I think he needs that for himself for the remainder of the year to show that he is taking steps in the right direction. There were some goals that were pretty wild the other night, but that's how life is in the NHL. You've got to be able to take steps to move on from your last performance, and I'm sure that he knows he was out there for what turned into a 5-1 loss into a 7 or 5-1 lead into a 7-5 loss. That's something that he's going to want to move away from. I think the entirety of the Sharks want to move on from those two Nashville games. Even if the game on Thursday night was a much better performance, they were able to bounce back. They were able to give themselves a fighting chance in that game, the way that it did end up, the way that they found themselves on a 3-0 deficit and a 5-2 deficit to come back and give themselves a chance, yet only to fall short again. That's got to leave a bad taste in their mouth that they all want to get rid of. And there's no better time than the present. And yes, Florida, they're a very good, very talented team. And this is a big, big challenge for San Jose. But you know, I think those are the nights where the Sharks do seem to rise to the occasion. They seem to play better against the best teams in the league. So let's hope that that is part of their game tonight as they do take on Nashville. We are out of time. Pregame 6:30, go time 7 tonight on the Sharks Audio Network. San Jose hosts Florida. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.